All right. Now, so far as the New Year's and the Scripture is concerned, where would we find the first one? Genesis 1. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So, that was the first day of the first year, so far as mankind is concerned. For God created the heaven and the earth for mankind, which is also created. And in Job chapter 38, in Job chapter 38 and verse 7, we read, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. What's he talking about there? Well, he's talking about in the creation, isn't he? When the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, it must have been a wonderful day, because we see here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 10 that it says, and God called the dry land earth, and gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. This was God in his holiness, his righteousness, and perfection. When he calls something good, it's according to his measure. So much better than mankind. And so, he saw that it was good. And actually, all the works of God are good. Let's look at one of the Psalms here now. Psalm 145 and verse 10. Psalm 145 and verse 10 says, all your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. So, we won't take time now to do so, but you can read a good deal in the Scriptures that describes the creation, how he created, the purpose, and so on. And it's wonderful. Now really, we think about the creation and analyze all the things that God created, and it's just fantastic. Say, my, it had to be wisdom far above anything mankind had, with his wisdom and power to create things. It's just amazing. It's just a glorious work that tells us how great our God is. So, the New Year's Day of creation, we say, was the first New Year's. And there are several New Year days later, we'll check on a few of them. And one of them is the New Year's Day of redemption. And that goes way back so far as history is concerned. And we have the history of the Scripture for that. That's the best. It gives us the glorious truth of God dealing with mankind. So let's look at Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and here, you know, is where Israel had been in bondage to Egypt. And here we see how God delivers Israel from the bondage in Egypt. Let's look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 2. This month shall be your beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Well, see, Now, Israel had been in Egypt for how many years? 430 years. And so, now, when God delivers them, this will be the beginning of years for them. As it says, this month shall be your beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So, this was a great change for the children of Israel, as they had been in bondage there for 430 years. Now, this chapter 12 is a very, very wonderful chapter, for it tells how God is going to deliver them and how these people, how the children of Israel obey Him. And here we see so many glorious teachings in this portion, like the forgiveness of sins. You remember how that he gives Moses the instructions how that the children of Israel are to take a lamb, and it's to be offered for the household. And verse 4 says, and let him, and if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. So, here we see how he is planning for this event. In verse 7 says, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. And in verse 11, the last sentence in that says, so you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. That glorious Passover was such a wonderful thing. The Lord introduces that to them. They observe it. And verse 12 says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So this day shall be to you a memorial. The first day of the year? Yes. My, that was exciting. That glorious event that took place there. And now, Israel, this nation, this old nation of Israel, is going to be delivered. And this is an important event. If they observe this, they will all live and pass through that night. But those in every house in that day, if there's no blood on the door, over the door, and so on, the firstborn in that house will die. It's God's judgment for the rebellion of mankind. So Israel will be delivered. And so Israel was grateful for that. And, well, what are they going to do about that? Are they excited about this new year? About the first event on that? Well, let's look over to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, the last verse 31. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. So here they praise the Lord for the greatness of his work, what he had done. So they're very grateful for that. So we've seen the now two New Year's right here. The New Year's Day of creation. The New Year's Day of redemption. Oh, this is the redeeming work. There in redeeming the children of Israel out of slavery, the bondage in Egypt. Now, there's another new day, a New Year's Day of revival given here in the history. So let's look at that. In the book of Ezra, chapter 7, the book of Ezra, chapter 7, and verse 9, on the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. So, Ezra, he was a scribe, he was a gifted man, and he loved the Word of God. Ezra did a lot of reading of the Word. As a matter of fact, let's note how he reads the Word to the people. Let's turn to chapter 8 in Nehemiah and notice what more Ezra is doing. In verse 1, now all the people gathered together in one man, as one man, in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. The first day he got here. Verse 3, then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Well, what about that? That's very important. This says that the people were attentive. And look at verse 5. What they do is he's reading that law now. Verse 5 says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. That means they were probably sitting down and everything, but when he opens the book, they stood up. They felt that that was the right thing to do. Instead of sitting around or laying around, they felt like they ought to stand up as if they are honoring God. And now remember what this was supposed to be? This is supposed to be a New Year's Day of revival. See what is starting here now among the Israelites. And verse 6, let's note what else that they do. It says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their head and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So here, the people answered by saying, Amen, Amen. And they worshiped the Lord. These people were greatly stirred, weren't they? In verse 9, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. So what caused the people to weep? Because they were confronted with the truth when they heard the message of God. My, that really got to them. And it said that they wept. Well, what was their attitude? What all did this do to them? Well, in verse 17 of chapter 8 of Nehemiah says, so the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity, made booths and sat under the booth. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness. So this is why that that event was described as the first day of the revival. For indeed, that was a revival. It's interesting to meditate upon that and see what the Lord did among them. Well, let's see if there's an account for another event, another New Year's Day that has some particular value to it. Well, let's look for this New Year's Day of consecration. Consecrated to the Lord, or consecrated to all that the Lord has given? Well, let's look at this event in Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. Remember, throughout Exodus, the Lord also gave instructions to Moses on building the tabernacle. That was going to be a wonderful building. It had a real wonderful purpose. And God was going to dwell in their midst, making his presence in that tabernacle. That's tremendous. Well, let's see how it's coming along. Let's see. I think this is going to reveal the greatness of that New Year's Day. Exodus chapter 14, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. First day of the first month. This would be a day, he said, when we want to set up the tabernacle. This was when it was raised up, the glorious tabernacle. And let's look over at verse 17 now. And it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. So Moses raised up the tabernacle, fastened its sockets, set up its boards, put in it, put in bars, and raised up as its pillars. So here we see this wondrous work completing this, which God had instructed them to do. Well, let's see then, if they obeyed the Lord, if this commitment here on this first day was important, let's see what verse is said in verse 34 there in Exodus 40. Now notice what happened in this event. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Wasn't that a glorious event? Well, that came, we might say, out of their consecration unto the Lord. Moses and Aaron and his sons were separated and sanctified unto the Lord on the first day of that second year. We read about that. Not only the first year, but the second year. Well, let's see if there's some exhortation in the New Testament. There's a passage here in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. As Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he says, How many the God of peace himself sanctify you complete, and may your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what an exhortation here is he is giving for these Christians at Thessalonica to observe. Now, notice back in verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And then we read that verse 23. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Now here he's preparing these people. We might say that that would be part of the New Year's Day of consecration. And that's an important thing. If we look at the New Year, what is coming this next year? What part should I play? Okay. Well, there's one other New Year's Day that we might look at here. And let's call it the New Year's Day of Eternity. There's coming another New Year's Day. And that is the beginning day of eternity. A notable day. Now, that's going to be a glorious day and event. Let's look at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. John writes, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And verse 5, "Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." So, there will never be another new year after this in eternity. It is eternity. Just imagine, there won't be any mark of the years like it is now. Now that's difficult for us to comprehend, isn't it? Because time seems to be very, very important to us, doesn't it? We like to mark the time by days, weeks, months, and years. But here we see these various events in the history of the Word that shows how certain things took place and what effect will that have upon our lives for the Lord? Well, one thing about it, we don't know just exactly what all might come up in this coming year, do we? But, just imagine, when the Lord Jesus comes for his saints to take all who belong to him from this earth, then things are going to become new, right? It's going to be a new, he says, John says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away." Great change. Well, we don't know just the time when that's going to happen, but we know it can happen at any time. For we know that the Lord Jesus is going to come and to call his people home to be with himself, for he has redeemed all at so great a price. Now, in the Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to the glory, to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. What a description of what we should really anticipate and look forward to. That's the greatest yet to come, isn't it? Until then, we can follow the instruction like Paul gave to the Thessalonians there in chapter 5. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for your grace and mercies that has attended us through life. Year after year, your mercies and grace have been wonderful to us, and we acknowledge that you're the supplier of all of our needs, that you have gloriously created and given all that's necessary to life. But we do thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you gave to save us from sin, death, and hell. We're thankful for so great a salvation from so great a Savior. And Holy Father, we're thankful that we have the privilege to serve and to worship you, the only true and living God. And we ask for this coming year that we'll all be very faithful and that we'll be greatly involved in the work that would glorify your name. So we ask for direction, that we might have some good goals set before us and may depend upon you for your leading, guidance, and for your blessing. So again, Father, we just thank you for our time together today, and now I ask for your blessing as we depart and ask you to watch over and keep us safely home. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.